D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
He loves us, man. He loves us. Hey, we love you too. Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live here at the SEC Sports Pub. With me, Tomas Mauricio. On the board, Wesley Coleman. I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. And for the next 2 hours, we'll be talking more Saints and useless information than anyone needs to know about.
At least
so
twice.
From Ruston to Monroe, Farmerville to Jonesboro, grab a drink, sit back, and relax, because we're going to do 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the SEC Sports Pub, BS and Beer style. Tomas,
yes,
I know you said, I know you said maybe even more than that. I mean, this is getting to the point where, I mean, what else is there to talk about right now? It's the Saints are going in, and they're just taking care of business. Now, Atlanta comes to town. You know, you have to be worried about those divisional rivalries and stuff, but I don't know, man. I never felt nervous, and the Saints just controlled the game. But those Thursday night games, you never know what's going to happen. Short week, your veterans aren't healed up yet. You know, they still sore, and they're getting in the hot tub, and you know, and getting their massages and what do you call it when you stick the little needles in it?
Acupuncture.
Yeah, all that stuff. They're doing it all. And you never know what's going to happen come Thursday. But the Saints, they put it in cruise control.
Well, I don't know if it's cruise control, but I would say to you that at least two of the three parts of our team played superior football. I think that, I guess we'll talk about it during the show today. The ability to be able to adjust. We're now seeing that our defensive coordinator can now make adjustments during the game, where at the beginning of the season I was a little concerned because it didn't seem we were making adjustments. But now, defensive line playing really good. Linebackers playing really good. Defensive backfield playing good. So if you put all of those together, the defense is doing well and able to make adjustments. Offensively, we always knew they could make adjustments. But, man, I'm telling you, Drew Brees is in a zone. At 39, it's like he's been able to bring together every single year of his experience into 1 year this year. And I know it says he has two interceptions, but the truth is he only has one. Because on that one that they counted as an interception,
all right.
You know, come on. He was mugged. He was everything you can imagine.
Abused.
Yeah. So
I know at least in 12 states, I didn't get a chance to look them all up, but at least 12 states, you can go to jail for what that defensive back did to
12 states and the Puerto Rico. So, you know, you just have to say that it's really outstanding to watch how they play. Like I said, there's one phase of our team that I'm not happy with. If you stay tuned and listen to the rant, you know what I'm talking about. So, Dave, I think that the team is looking pretty good. As I said to Wesley before, I think now we're coming up to the really hard part of the schedule. I think we have these two Thursday night games in a row, and then we have the final three games, two against the Panthers, Scamthers as I call them, and one against the Steelers. Yeah, there's one in between Tampa Bay that you didn't.
Okay. Because when you said four games, right? We have Dallas tomorrow night,
right?
And then Tampa Bay. Then we have two Panthers.
Scamthers.
That's right. That's
so
right. In Pittsburgh. And I got to tell you, did you see the Pittsburgh game?
Yeah, I saw the Pittsburgh game, and I have to tell you, it was kind of shocking to me, to tell you the truth. I didn't, you know, but Roethlisberger was making mistake after mistake, man. I was like, dude, really? So, I don't know.
It makes me a little uncomfortable because, to me, that's the toughest game left on the schedule is that game. Having said that, you just can't go into a game hoping a team that good that with that much talent is just going to make those kind of mistakes.
So
they had the touchdown that wasn't because the receiver Brown fumbles the ball just as he was about to cross the goal line, fumbles it into the end zone, which is a touchback. The other team gets the ball. And it's just one of those things where, boy, you know.
Well, you could say the same thing about Atlanta because they basically did the same thing.
You know, and that's one of the things I was going to bring up, too, about Atlanta is, look, we cruised through that game, but, man, it's a different ball game. Okay, before I even say this, I want to know, you could ifs and skiffs and all those things you say. Who knows what would have happened? Maybe if Atlanta doesn't fumble and they score a touchdown there, maybe the Saints say, look, let's put it in gear, and they beat them even worse.
You don't know. Yeah.
But having said that, Atlanta did fumble at least twice. Right before halftime, Julio Jones gets helicoptered. I mean, that was
one of the best hits Anzalone has ever done on any of these people.
It was
a good low high kind of thing. You know, he was going to be going down anyway from the hit he took. I think it was Lattimore. And then once he got airborne, man, Anzalone came across with that arm and just hit him right on the spot to make him twirl around. And when he did that helicopter, whoop, out the ball came. It's a good hit.
Well, I'll tell you what. Do you have those picks ready? The leaders for the Pick'em contest?
Oh, you know, because I certainly do because, you know, there's a guy.
Oh, geez. Here we go.
Who had green check after green check going all the way down. It was amazing.
Well, let's get this show started.
Let's get it started so I can brag. So I can give you the highlights.
Exactly. Tell the highlights.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30. Followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS&B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, Tomas, I feel like I could have just glossed over. We were already going. We were talking Saints football, which is what we do, all we do.
Yeah.
It's a Saints show.
Yeah.
And I could have just left out the picks and not mentioned it, not brought it up, but I did.
Well, why would you do that?
Now I got to pay the consequences.
Now you have to pay the toll to the troll, you know what I'm saying?
Go ahead, let us hear it.
I'm going to give you the highlights here. I'm just going to give you the top 10. Just write down a list, and then I go back. So we have Who Dat, Two Dat 2018, Jay-Z Picks, Cable Tonka, Rob 22278, Scottish Who Dat, BS and B Tomas.
Oh, Lord.
Clinton Rebel. Carolina Saints fan, Brooks, and Guachatala Mala's picks.
They don't make it easy on you, do they?
No, they do not. That's the top 10. But in those top 10, the first two are tied for first. 1, 2, 3. The next three are tied for second. 1, 2. The next two are tied for third. That would be me. And then the final ones are tied for fourth, and then the last one is fifth. So you have five places of the top 10. So there you have it.
I got to give you some props there. He just showed me, you know, if those who play understand on the app, they have little green check marks by the ones that you got right.
That's right.
And it was just check. How many did you get right?
11.
11. Man, and I didn't even hit my normal 11. 7. It was bad. Now, having said that, y'all heard me. You heard the show last week. I picked the Saints. I forgot to check the box, so I lost that game.
Golly, brother. What can I tell you?
No.
Well, see, here I was sitting. I won every one of the early games.
Okay.
Every single one. Check. I was like, damn, am I going to break my record? You know, my record was 11 before. It's the same thing. I got this. Okay. So I tied my record. But I thought for sure I was going to get like 13.
But then there wasn't 16, 15, 14
there
games?
14 games.
14 games.
Yeah.
I mean, 11 out of 14, that's nothing to sneeze at.
But I was ticked off.
Were you?
Yeah.
Why? Which ones did you lose?
The three afternoon games. I won the Sunday night
game.
And
you
hated it.
You just lost.
1, 2, yeah. 3, XXX. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
You
know?
You on a roll.
I was on a roll.
Like butter.
Sure, bam,
like butter.
All right. So I felt pretty good. You know, I made some good picks there. And now, I didn't see your sister on the list, so I'm so sorry.
I didn't see where she went.
I don't know where she ended up.
And she didn't send me a message, so it obviously had a bad
week. I appreciate that she was a little feisty there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it woke me up. I was like, hey, I got to make better picks.
That's right. It woke up the sleeping beast,
that's
right?
That's right, man. So hey, I'm shooting for number one.
Don't forget, we got the good, bad, and ugly coming up and some John Hendricks. All kinds of stuff for you. Don't go away, because when we come back, we're going to start with some in-depth analysis. And
yes, sir.
I'm sorry. This is the BS and Beer podcast.
Oh, not pass me a beer.
Yeah. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking us for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, we don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, fellas, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. Visit MyBookie online. That's MyBookie. And don't forget, you play, you win, you get paid.
Earth, wind, fire. Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Wesley Coleman on the board. I'm Dave Romero. This right here, Tomas Mauricio. You don't want to miss him.
He's got a rant coming in.
I can only imagine. He's been holding it back. These Thursday games kind of get him all irritated, and I just don't want to see him get too upset about it. But you need to build up that pressure.
I can't help it.
You got to build up that pressure for your rant.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And then let it all out.
I'm waiting.
All right. Well, I tell you what. It's time for that segment. It's called The Good, The Bad, and the Ugly.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for Good and the Bad and the Ugly.
All right. The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Tomas, I think we ought to let Wesley go first.
All right, sir, go ahead.
Wesley,
what's your good, brother?
I feel like you have the rap on the ugly part, so let's go a little in a different direction here. Let's see if you got the good.
The good from this Thursday is, I mean, honestly, just an all-around embarrassment of the Falcons, showing that they really didn't have any heart, and then when it did get in, even inside the red zone, there was just nothing there. I loved watching our defense hit them hard. Loved watching the Julio helicopter. Really nice just seeing basically them dead on the field. By the end of the fourth quarter, you could tell they were ready to go home.
All right. Well, that's actually a good one. And I tell you what, Tomas and I were talking about it in the first segment. It's one of those things where, you know, you never know what would happen. But, man, they had at least two turnovers that I can recall off the top of my head in the red zone. How would the game have played out if they get in the end zone instead of Julio getting helicoptered and fumbling the ball?
You never know.
What about
am I good now?
Well, you know, I was going to talk about what Wesley had to say.
Go ahead.
You want to just move on to what you got to say?
You know, hey, you're in charge of the board there. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Tomas. I don't want to hold you up.
Well, my good is that Drew Brees, when confronted with the fact that they're not just double-teaming Mike Thomas, but they're double-teaming him and rolling the safety across. I mean, really? I mean, triple-teaming Michael, which you know what that means. Somebody's going to be open. So, to me, the good, four undrafted free agents stepping up to the plate. And by the way, there are a couple of these guys I've been talking about.
Oh, God. Since before here we go. Preseason. I mean, just because you adopt every single undrafted free agent as your guy.
Every single one.
Arnold caught a touchdown.
Yes,
Lewis caught a touchdown.
Yes,
Kirkwood caught a touchdown. Yeah. And Carr caught a touchdown.
Now, I'll tell you the truth. I mean, I'm sorry. I didn't, you know. Lewis, I didn't stand up for him. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
He's not one of my unique.
Not
things.
One of you guys. I get it. But Kirkwood.
Yes, absolutely.
That was your guy. I have to admit it.
That was a guy.
And then, you know, Carr, I think, you know, you always
we said, well, you could be the new guy, you know, okay.
And then Arnold.
I like this guy.
Arnold, you liked him.
Did Ken Crawley catch a touchdown?
No,
that's one of his guys.
Yeah, that's one of my guys.
That's true. I'm not giving up on Crawley. That's all right.
Yeah, he just needs a little more marinating, some more seasoning.
Hey,
that's
you know,
it.
Let me tell you what. If something were to happen, knock on wood, let's hope not. But if something were to happen, I don't have any problem with Crawley coming in. I don't. You know? I have a problem if I had Devontae Harris coming in. Then I'd have a problem.
Okay, hang on. Let's talk about this for a second. I know it's kind of off subject. But, okay, now we have Eli Apple. Is he amazing? No. Is he the same thing or same level as Lattimore? Absolutely not.
No.
But it just tells you where we're at when we're like, oh, my God, we have Ken Crawley because he was replacing
Devontae Harris.
So, I mean, it just tells you where we're at. We're like, oh, my God, yay, we have Crawley. And I felt the same way because Crawley was an upgrade over Harris. But now that we don't have either one of them, we actually have a solid number two cornerback. And I think that's a conversation all to itself.
That's a different conversation.
But, but now that we have a number two corner who's a good, solid.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like all of a sudden you look at those guys and you kind of do like, God, man, how low is my expectations? So anyway, so do you want to move on? You want to hear my good?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know. There's so much stuff. But, okay, my good, I don't know. I'll narrow it down to Klein. I rewatched the game for the third time today.
Yeah.
A.J. Klein was outstanding. I mean, he starts the game off with making tackles. He started the second half off with a tackle for a loss.
Yes.
And then another tackle on a wide play, and I don't remember if it was a like just a swing pass or if it was a run.
A pitch, wasn't it?
It might have been a pitch. And if I'm not – he either got another tackle for a loss or at least a short game, maybe 1 or 2 yards. And my point is that he's a guy early in the season, and you know how I like to – find guys who, I mean, I could say Drew Brees every week. We could call Drew Brees and say he had a good every week.
Go to so goats.
Let's find a guy who you really don't expect to. But now with Klein, it's every week. I mean, he's stepping up. He's playing good football this week, particularly good. And on top of everything, he gets a deflected pass from Davidson.
Yeah.
Interception. Yeah. So, I mean, the guy was all over the place. And he's finally making the money that we spent on him last year. He's making good on it.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I think about the situation. It's a whole different ballgame when the linebackers aren't being hit by the other team's offensive linemen. You see, I mean, I really think that's the difference. You got Klein, you got Davis, you got Anzalone. They've all looked like they've stepped up their game, and I'm sure that they have. But the other part of it is that the offensive linemen now can't get past our defensive linemen. You see?
No, absolutely.
You think about the kind of games our defensive line is having. You know, you mentioned Davidson. Onyemata, and of course, Bacon Shaken, you know, which is Rankin, you know.
right.
You know, I mean, you've got guys now who are, the offensive line can't just sort of swipe them a little bit and then get down to the linebackers. Now the linebackers are free.
No, the defensive line is definitely keeping the linebackers clean.
Yeah.
And so they have a chance to flow to the ball. And now all of a sudden a guy that maybe, you know, listen, people are out. Linebackers are not meant to take on 300-pound offensive linemen. And people like to say, oh, he got blocked. If an offensive lineman, if a guard gets to a linebacker, man, you're outweighed by 50 pounds. It's generally going to be hard for you to take on a block, discard that guy, and make a tackle. So if the defensive line, which they're obviously doing, keeps the linebackers clean, they're flowing to the ball, and this is kind of going back in your point, whether you meant it or indirectly or directly, is our defensive line has just exceeded our expectations
this
year.
Absolutely.
Hey, some stats about the defensive line. One, 6 sacks, which that really sticks out, but 26 yards rushing. So forget the linebackers getting dirty and getting blocked by offensive linemen. They weren't even getting past the line of scrimmage. I mean, Matt Ryan was their leading rusher.
Well, Wesley, I was going to say, if you take away the 2 scrambles by Matt Ryan, that 26 yards becomes even less than that.
Yeah.
14. I think he had 12 yards rushing as their leading rusher, and that got him up to 1.6 yards per carry. And I know we're talking about Klein too, but I mean DeMario Davis, just what he's doing every play. You can watch him. He's diagnosing plays really fast, and he is quick to the ball, and he doesn't miss a tackle.
Yep. By the way, of course, we can't leave out the fact that there's a coach now for the linebackers, who is actually a linebacker coach, not passing out donuts.
No.
Okay. And by the way, I don't know, Wesley, did you see the little thing that they did online about the dance in the locker room after the game? And actually
Absolutely.
Had Coach Nolan was dancing with
sure
the linebackers? Man, that was funny as hell.
Man, this team, you can tell it's just a great thing. And you see those in the locker rooms. They're having a lot of fun. They are sticking with a 24-hour rule of they're only going to celebrate the win for 24 hours and then they're on to business.
Yep.
And even in the locker room and what's coming out the next day, they're saying the right things. They get right back hyper-focused on what's going on the next week. I love that they're having fun, but I love that they know that these one-week wins and this 10-game winning streak isn't what their goal is.
No.
Yeah, one of the things that that you hope that the team focuses on is that it was brought to my attention – that if the Saints win, and I can't remember the other part of it.
Panthers lose, Saints win, we win the division.
Exactly. Yeah. That gives us, what would that be, four more games or three more games that we have to stay focused. I mean, the Saints have to stay focused. There's a lot of young guys, and we talked about it earlier. I truly believe that's why we lost the season opener, is those guys just too much stuff in the offseason, too many reading of press clippings, too many we're just that good, and that's why they lost that game. Now, can we maintain the focus, because it's no longer about winning the division. It's about maintaining our slim lead on the NFC so that we can get that first number one seed, first round bye, and all the road goes through New Orleans. And I wholeheartedly believe if you have to come and play the Saints in New Orleans, there's no we're not going to lose that game. There's no way. I don't care who they bring in. The Saints will not lose in New Orleans the way the energy, the confidence, just all of it. There's just no way the Saints lose if they get the number one seed.
Perfect point on there, Dave. Remember, the motto before this season started, prove them right. That's all coming to fruition now. It makes 100% sense what prove them right means. And every week we can be reminded of that because, you know, we've been the number one ranked in the power rankings the last 3 or 4 weeks. Let's keep proving them right.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. So, Tomas.
Yes, sir?
The Saints defense, I just feel like these guys are sneaky good, man. We started off the first 2 or 3 weeks, we just got tore up. We got torched. Gave up a lot of passing yards. But as time went on, the defense, and you talked about the adjustments. I don't know if I believe it's just adjustments. I believe there's some there are things that the team did to just get better and improve, and as the season went on. And not to mention, let's not lose sight of the offense has improved every week too. So the more pressure the Saints offense puts on the defense, I'm talking about the defense of the other team, then it puts pressure on their offense to try to keep up, which makes it easier for the Saints defense to compete, to make plays, to make big plays and game-changing plays. But this defense is sneaky good. They are improving every week.
Well, I think, again, you have a couple of areas to look at. Number one, I think in the first game, I don't disregard your thought that it could be that they just, you know, didn't realize that they had to be serious in playing. But I would go back and say, look, Okafor had just come off of an injury. He didn't really know whether he could play or not, so I don't think he had that kind of confidence in himself. We were playing all kinds of linebackers. You might recall, we had, like, everybody who was a linebacker played middle linebacker in that first game.
Sure.
So you were playing all around with linebackers. You don't know who was going to be where or what.
Well,
doing
I think that's part of my point, is that the Saints were still trying to find themselves.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't think it's just that they had read a lot of press clippings and thought, oh, we just show up and we'll win. I think in part is that we just didn't have the personnel that we have now. Now we know who we got playing. You know, we know for sure these are the first four guys on the line. These are the first three guys on the linebacking crew. These are our defensive backs, you know. Now, I know that based on Mr. Coleman's last name, our Coleman hasn't really shown up all that much, even though every now and then I'll see a 29 come up. But, you know, I think we had a great signing with Davis. I think we've done great with the draft. Coleman, on the other hand, as a safety, might not be the best signing we ever made.
You know, one thing just to kind of – I keep thinking about the Buccaneers win, and everything you're saying kind of makes sense, but I will say, Dave, I think the one thing that sticks out about the Buccaneers game is you got Mike Evans, who got shut down last year by Lattimore.
Yes.
Had 7 catches for 147 yards. Yeah. Lattimore admitted he wasn't necessarily into it. He hadn't practiced as hard as he would. That refocused him. You could honestly say that we lost that 8-point game because Lattimore had the worst game of his NFL career.
Yep.
No matter what everybody else was doing – Lattimore himself, who was our stalwart in the back end of our defense, had the worst game of his NFL career.
Yep.
And he's shown no signs of that. He admitted that, you know, he could practice harder and he could be more focused. So it's easy to kind of take one thing, actually, and say maybe that's what happened.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of truth to that. And you would hope, and I think we've seen the improvement from Lattimore because, quite frankly, early in the season, he didn't seem like the Lattimore that I recall from his rookie year. I mean, and now you're just starting to see him in this game. He was the guy that
don't think he's back to his rookie year.
And you know what? I wouldn't even argue with you.
Because one of those plays where Julio came across, he was beat. Lattimore
okay,
was beat.
Right off the bat, though, this is what you just said there is the same thing I'm just like, Shay, what you just said. You just said Julio Jones, if not top three receiver, he's going to beat people. He's going to beat people, including Lattimore. It's going to happen.
I don't disagree with you, but I'm just saying.
I like when you say
you,
that. I like the fact that you just.
I'm just saying to you that overall, I don't see him playing at the same level with the same kind of freedom. Let's put it that way. You know, I think that. And he said it himself, you know, how I've been working on technique. And I'm telling you, because I teach technique in a different field. But if you can't trust yourself, if you're still thinking too much about the technique, you're not going to be up to the 100% level you need to be.
Well, okay. So my point was, Lattimore was involved in two turnovers. No. He was the guy that set Julio Jones flying.
So that Anzalone could tattoo him.
So Anzalone could tattoo him. And on the other end, he's the one who tackled Ridley, although he's the one that got beat by Ridley.
Yeah, that's correct.
But he recovered, tackles him, and forces another fumble. My point is now you're starting to see the Lattimore that makes plays, that steps out of the box, that does things that – like just things you can't scheme. He just makes plays. I remember last year there was a particular play where he came across the field to make an interception. It's hard to describe it, but basically on the backside of the play there was a post route, and he came off his man and made an interception 40 yards downfield, 50 yards downfield, and it was just amazing. Now we're starting to see those things again. And hopefully whatever we saw the first half of the season, we're not going to see that anymore. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer podcast crew doing Saints Talk nonstop. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coonass.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, and my good friend John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. John, the Saints are on a roll. I literally, this is like the third week in a row after maybe five total weeks where I'm kind of yawning after the game. I mean, it's the fourth quarter. We're talking to our, you know, we're texting our friends, asking what they're doing tomorrow, what we're going to eat for dinner. Like, the fourth quarter of these games are just almost, it's just unimportant. It's just, it's almost boring.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I guess it's nice to have those types of moments. It's just, you know, you think back on the past several years that you always get these cardiac type games for the Saints, and it's nice to be on the other side of the coin this time around. But you know, look, big win, another big win, another game where they come out, and you know, even though they didn't look perfect, you look at the scoreboard and said, "Man, 31 points." You kind of see that as a underwhelming type of game for the Saints, but still, I mean, you look at everything involved. The hottest team in the league, still after you know all this time, 10-1, sitting high and mighty atop the NFC South, and you know, right now NFC's top spot in the playoff race.
Well, and it's funny that you talk about the Thursday night games, and quite frankly, you know, history has pretty much shown not just with the Saints but anybody. These Thursday night games, you're not really going to get the team that you see on Sundays because, I mean, these guys, man, if you don't know football, and if you're a guy who stands on the sideline and actually like feels the percussion of a hit of an NFL player getting hit or a tackle or a running back, then it's so violent. And to be able to recover in such a short period of time and go out and play to your maximum ability, man, it's difficult.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, even if you played any type of sport, you realize that the physical tone it takes on your body just having to recoup. And you know, Sean Payton had talked about their win on Sunday, just that, you know, look, we're going to play it smart. They gave guys some rest, veteran rest, you know, whatever type of rest, 24 to 48 hours. And you know, look, I would love to say that, you know, this team is really conditioned, and they were definitely prepared for it. And look, I just hope that those turnovers that they were able to force against the Falcons are just a sign of things to come. Because man, if they really get their defense going and then keep playing the way they are offensively, this team really just can't be stopped.
Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head, John. I think our defense is quietly and maybe a little bit, you know, it's kind of sneaky, has turned out to be a really good defense. And now when you start talking about the big boys, the Rams, Kansas City, New Orleans, I believe New Orleans has the best defense out of the three.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, and that's just not even putting on the glasses or anything. It's just, you know, you look at the Rams, what they use to invest in their defense, and, you know, Aaron Donald's a guy who's a beast. They have some really good pieces on there, but for whatever reason, Wade Phillips and those guys just don't seem to be doing, you know, what they should in terms of defensive schemes and such. And, you know, we look at the Chiefs hanging so many points on them, the Saints hanging so many points on them, but this is a Saints defense that, you know, you look at the beginning of the season to now and you say, man, this transformation has been something. They've just been playing so much better. DeMario Davis at linebacker is looking better each week. Eli Apple at corner starting to look very comfortable, looking like he's the real deal and such a good answer for this team. And, you know, front seven is just really turning it on. Cameron Jordan is just absolutely insane. Sheldon Rankins makes a play insane. Or two every single week, it seems like. And, you know, you got Marcus Davenport that got out there. He didn't even look 100%, but he's still effective in what he did.
Absolutely, man. It's just encouraging. The front seven, they're growing up right in front of our eyes. We always knew what Cam Jordan can do. Now all of a sudden you got Sheldon Rankins, and you mentioned it, at least a play a game. And we're not just talking a play. He's having at least one dominant play where he's just out there looking like a bully playing against guys who shouldn't be on the field with him. And it's not bad players. We're talking about NFL starters, and he's literally tossing them out of the way at least once a game.
Yeah, and you know what? It, to me, it reminds me of what they were hoping they would get immediately once Nick Fairley was lost back, you know, a couple of years ago and stuff. They thought Rankins could come in immediately, make that big giant impact. I mean, he showed flashes, showed signs. You know, Cam Jordan always talked him up about how important he is on the defense, pointing out coverages and schemes and such. But now he's starting to find his groove where he's just absolutely, no matter who you're throwing at him, whether it's a center, a guard, he just blows past them. Makes this crazy tackle, and suddenly this guy is having such a really Pro Bowl season, and he's going to get lost in a shuffle, it would seem, compared to some of the other popular names out there.
Yeah, now let's move on. We have another Thursday night game. Now this won't be bad because we played last Thursday, so it's almost, you know, it's a week in between. But the Dallas Cowboys come to town, we're at Dallas tomorrow night on Thursday night, and I mean, I'm hearing a lot of stuff, and I know it's probably the networks trying to pump up this game and talking about Dallas's defense, which, I mean, they are pretty good, but I don't know if they've played a team like the Saints.
Yeah, look, I mean, look, I guess this is what happens, right? Because it seems like every week that the Saints go into this, we're trying to find out, you know, how great the other team is or what the other team needs to do, instead of saying, hey, the Saints team's really good at what they're doing and they're finding new ways to beat people, and it doesn't matter what kind of defense, because they've played the top-ranked defense. You go back to Washington, top defense. That's all you heard. Baltimore, top defense, unbeatable at home. You know, Minnesota, man, that Vikings defense. You know, it's really, I guess in a way, if you're a Saints fan, it's kind of annoying because you keep hearing, you know, everybody else praising everybody else but the Saints, the team that's actually 10-1 and just on this red-hot streak. Now, you know, that being said, Dallas defense, strong. But, again, you're looking at a team at 6-5, not 10-1. So, you know, I guess in a way, don't be confused. They got some good talent with DeMarcus Lawrence on the edge. You got Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch at linebacker. Very talented, but at the same time, very beatable.
Yeah, and I think they've shown that. And I think what's really offsets it is the fact that the Saints are going to play and put points on the board. And that puts pressure on your offense. And the Dallas offense, quite frankly, is just not a great offense. I mean, they have some talented pieces. They picked up a receiver in a trade earlier in the year from the Oakland Raiders. And they have a great running back. Having said that, the Saints have a great run defense. I just don't know how Dak Prescott, if you take the run away from him, is going to be able to not just score points. I'm talking about keep up with the Saints offense.
Yeah, and look, that's the situation you want to be in, right? You want to make Dak Prescott actually beat you. And, you know, nothing to take away from him, but, you know, he's not Tony Romo, what Tony Romo used to be with the Cowboys, and he's just not as stellar of a quarterback. And I know people tend to disagree, and Amari Cooper has probably been a great thing addition for him. But when it comes down to it, you know, Prescott's just inconsistent. He's shown that there's times where he just can get rattled real quick, or he's not afraid to run and take off. And you know, when you look at the Falcons game, I think it was, and to some of the other games, they beat him on the ground is how they were able to win that game. And, you know, Elliott's the leading receiver on that. So I think if I'm the Saints, I really think, obviously, you're going to have to control the line of scrimmage, but you're going to have to try to make Prescott beat you, and if you could force him into some bad throws and take advantage there, I think it's going to be the easy winning formula for him on Thursday.
And that's kind of where I'm going with this, is that Prescott, as long as you're in a game where it's, you know, you can play conservative, you can your play calls can be things that he does best. The problem is, it's not just Dak Prescott, it's all the quarterbacks, even the best quarterbacks. Once you start putting the pressure on them and they feel that pressure that they have to score every time out, and that's when mistakes get made. Now, moving on, let's talk a little bit about the NFC South. At one point, especially after Tampa Bay came to New Orleans in the season opener and put a whooping on the Saints, we were all thinking that, man, this NFC South is just going to be a murderer's row. But I don't believe that anybody in the NFC South other than the Saints have won in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's well, you got the Bucs who won, I think, on Sunday, so that was it. But, you know, you got Carolina's dropped three straight. Atlanta's dropped three straight. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things, how football happens, right? And, you know, we talked about it long ago, just the Panthers live and breathe and die by the success of Cam Newton. Cam Newton wasn't perfect. He wasn't that good against the Seahawks. Seahawks ended up beating them on defense, and Atlanta just, you know, you understand how the injuries happen, but at the same time, the injuries have happened to the Saints too, and they have depth, people that step up to the plate. So, you know, it's crazy to be in this situation right now, approaching week 13, where, you know, Saints win and Panthers lose to the Bucks. They clinched the division, and I don't think that's ever happened this early across this division. I'd have to go back and look, but I don't remember a year where this division didn't come out to the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But that's just incredible. It speaks to how the Saints are really playing right now.
Wow, John, I didn't even realize that. I mean, that is interesting. I mean, to my recollection, I'm sure it's happened, but for the Saints to be in a position to clinch the division. Having said that, there's lots of work to be done. Let's talk about the big NFL, or at least the NFC South playoff picture. The Saints are tied with the Rams. We have the tiebreaker because we beat the Rams. Having said that, what's awful about it is we're just one loss away from not having at least not having home field advantage all the way through. It seems to me that it's going to be Saints and Rams 1-2 one way or another.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, the Bears are going to try to make their push, but, you know, I mean, the Bears have to play the Rams down the stretch. You know, that's just one of those things. And you got the Cowboys, which are leading. That can honestly go either way because the Redskins are still in it. The Eagles are still in it with a big win over the Giants. And then you kind of have the wild card teams that are going to fight and jostle back. And, you know, there's always a team that can kind of put it on at the end of the year and kind of sneak in there. But, look, when it's all said and done, I think when you see how – the competition has distanced itself, it's got to be Rams, it's got to be Saints in the 1-2, and it's got to be your early pick for a conference game. Now, whether the Saints go there or they come here, that remains to be seen. But look, I just feel that right now, until we've proven otherwise, again, I told you last week, and I still believe it, Saints are going to lose a game here somewhere, right, somewhere along the roads. That Tampa game seems like somewhere where they could lose, might split with Carolina, but as of right now, you know, they're only focused one game at a time. That's their mentality, and that's all they're caring about right now.
Right. I agree with you, and not because I think that any team left on the schedule is better than the Saints. It's just history will prove to you that the best teams, especially at the end of the season, isn't it funny how they, you know, something happens and maybe you lose your edge or you're just not focused and you end up losing to a team you shouldn't have. Matter of fact, on our Super Bowl run, we went to we lost several games, and the Vikings did too, so we were in a position. John, thank you so much. It's John J. Hendricks on Twitter of the Canal Street Chronicles. Thank you for coming in and talking with us, man. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio.
BS and Beer, a national institution since, it's a really cool show.
Number the dog in, man, at Saints defense. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer podcast crew. Tomas Mauricio here with me. Wesley Coleman on the board. I'm Dave Romero, and we're talking wall-to-wall Saints. All right, we had John Hendricks come in. He always does a great job. Love having him on the show. Matter of fact, Wesley, weren't you saying something about some tweets that old John Hendricks had?
Yeah, John had a great tweet that reminded me of some of my favorite football memories with us beating the Cowboys and playing them. He had the top five Saints-Cowboys moments under Sean Payton. Tell me, tell me if, what you remember here. We'll start at number five. Number five was, you know, Jimmy Graham recovering Colston's fumble to set up the overtime win.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I remember.
Immediately followed by maybe the only play that C.J. Spiller ever played as a Saint.
Oh,
the fastest touchdown in overtime history.
Yeah, yeah.
Number three, you know, these top three are all games I was at. In the dome, we had the 40 first downs. We set up the NFL record. I think Drew Brees was the only person in the entire dome that knew that was fixing to happen. He asked Sean Payton if we could go for it on fourth and three. Ingram ran for a first down, and Brees was the only person that knew we had just set a record.
Well, now, Wesley, is that the game where what was that full? Was it Mike Carney that had like just they turned him into a premier receiver in that game? Was that that game?
No, the 40 first downs was in the dome. We won 49-17.
Yeah.
The Mike Carney game is number two on this list.
Oh, well, look at me. What a segue.
That was a game on the road in Dallas. The great thing about that, if y'all don't know the backstory, is Sean Payton came to Bill Parcells with a couple plays he wanted to run with a fullback. Bill Parcells, quote unquote, said, F the fullback. Sean Payton, the first time we played against him, decided he was going to show him how valuable fullbacks could be. And Mike Carney gets three touchdowns.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
What and then number one.
Number one.
Malcolm Jenkins stripping Roy Williams on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, I remember sitting there just watching us. It seemed like we were about to just be done there. And all of a sudden, Roy Williams fumbles the ball and we go on to win that one.
Now, Wesley, you're going to be our on-site correspondent, right? You're going to be at the game. That's what I hear.
I will be at the game on Thursday up there in the Death Star.
All right. Now, make sure that you go ahead and use your BS and Beer account. What do you call it? Your travel expense account. And, you know, make sure you turn in all your receipts so that you can get your check.
I will. I've already got everything pre-approved by management. I'm flying first class. You got me.
That's how we roll.
I really appreciate it.
That's how we roll, man. He's going to fly BS and Beer Airlines.
All right. That's pretty good.
All right. So then earlier this week, there was something from the Dallas Cowboy defensive end, DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah.
Wesley, give us the latest.
So we're going to have to maybe edit a little bit here to make sure that we don't get thrown off the air, get the FCC called. But
yeah. FHA.
DeMarcus Lawrence said they're going to have to match our intensity.
Nice.
Then for 60 minutes straight, if you hit a mother effer in the mouth and then they ain't doing what they regularly doing, putting up 50 points, they start to get a little distressed. Now you got them where you want them at, and then you effing choke their A out.
There you go.
That's end of quote.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
I believe he studied the Harvard Dictionary.
I'm not sure what 2012 or 13 Saints film that he's been watching. But just to say, you know, I think most of the Saints were ignoring it. But you know how Michael Thomas is.
No, Michael Thomas doesn't play that.
He doesn't hashtag shh anymore. He sometimes can be goaded into these. So Michael Thomas had three tweets. One, if they trying to send a message, we not going to receive it. And then he said 3 minutes later, don't bite off more than you can chew.
Right.
And then Skip Bayless had a tweet that Michael Thomas retweeted. Skip Bayless, no DeMarcus Lawrence, just no. They're already explosive enough without provoking them.
That is good stuff. I mean, you want to talk about bulletin board, locker room board material. What is this guy thinking? Because let me tell you something. I mean, I had a little extra time, watched the Dallas-Washington game, and I took some notes. And you can look at my notes, and I kid you not, I took notes of everything that I thought was somewhat significant. Can you see that, Wesley? Yeah. There's about eight lines. At halftime, it was 7-7 until about 2 minutes. Then they kicked the field goal, and Dallas went up 10-7. For the most part, Colt McCoy and the Washington Redskins, Colt McCoy, he's a quarterback. I'm just in case for y'all that don't know, Colt McCoy plays quarterback. He actually did okay. But the point is, this is a Colt McCoy-led team, and this defense, they were still making plays, and they were still – the problem is that neither one of these teams – I don't know. Okay, listen, I'm spoiled. I follow the Saints. When you watch the Saints, and then if you want to appreciate Drew Brees and the Saints – sit down and watch this game. Matter of fact, find a game like this and put $100 on it so that you're really intently watching it. and you'll just be so frustrated trying to watch these teams. Yeah, mybookie.com. Go drop $100 on the next time these two teams play, and watch how frustrated you'll get. Aside from two big plays by Cooper, who they traded for from the Raiders, it was just a nondescript game with a bunch of guys moving up and down the field and punting, and it was terrible. I was a little concerned because this game's on the road, and I keep hearing, and I think the media is trying to build this defense for the Dallas Cowboys up to something so that at least the public will think it's worth watching. The Saints are going to beat the brakes off of Dallas. They can't move the ball. They can't score. And the Saints' defense is every bit as good as Washington or Dallas's defense. I just don't know how this even be a game. The Saints have the number one rush defense. The only real, outside of Cooper, who made plays, Zeke Elliott. He's a explosive running back, but he's going up against the number one rush defense. Once you take the run away, there's just simply no way that Dak Prescott is going to be able to move the ball consistently. The Saints are going to get turnovers in this game, and they're going to continue to build on the confidence that they've created with this new defense.
Well, I would say to you that Lawrence apparently didn't watch the Philadelphia game.
He didn't.
Because you might recall in that game that the safety for Philadelphia, his name escapes me at this moment.
Does it really, Malcolm Jenkins?
No, it
didn't. Okay, I know it didn't. I didn't know if you were, like, you know me in names. I don't know how you forgot it.
You might remember that Mr. Jenkins was jawing over at Sean Payton.
Yes.
And gave him the one-finger salute, at which point Sean Payton said, you know what? Let's call this play up right here. I'm going to beat his behind and score another 7 points, which is what he did.
Yeah.
So don't be surprised if there are now some plays in the playbook for the Dallas game that go right at Mr. Lawrence.
Well, I got to tell you, Tomas, you know, listen, we talk about Michael Thomas, and Wesley just brought it up. Michael Thomas can be petty. He can be petty. You know who else on this team that can be petty? Head coach Sean Payton.
Wow.
And that's the thing. It's like the last thing you want to do is take an explosive team like the Saints or any team who's playing extremely well and start talking trash for no reason like DeMarco Lawrence, and especially when you have a head coach that is petty. Sean Payton will drop 60 points on them if he can. I'm not implying that they can. I'm saying the last thing you want to do is say something where, okay, listen, we couldn't match up like we thought we could, and we're going to lose this game, but now we're going to get humiliated because I had to open my mouth.
This whole thing, too, is one day after Dak Prescott coming out to the media and saying, hey, we're okay, guys. They put on their pants one leg at a time, too. Seriously?
And we don't, man. Like, we put them on three legs at a time.
Well, that's a speech that you give your T-ball team if they're fixing to go up against the Dodgers or something like that. What is he talking about? Who brings that into the NFL or any kind of professional sports? They put their pants on one leg at a time. And it sounds perfectly like something that Jason Garrett probably said in a team-only meeting right before they came out and talked to the media.
You know, a bird in the bush, but you can't lead them to water, okay? Right?
Nah,
I mean, that's the kind of stuff you gotta kind of take those things to heart.
Well, we'll see how it goes, but I'm telling you right now, one of the interesting little tidbits I heard was that when we played Philadelphia, we actually had 55 different offensive sets that we could run against Philadelphia, 55 different player schemes against Philadelphia. Now,
wow.
Imagine the defense, how they're going to prepare when you have 55 different possibilities of player combinations.
That's almost like a Rubik's Cube, man.
There you go.
Hey, 97.7. Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. When we come back, hour number two, we got all kinds of cool stuff. A Tomas rant, mybookie.com pick. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to David Heat and Tomas. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. We do this every week. Every Wednesday, so don't miss. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast.